Burt Show.
The more chores you do, more sex you're going to get from your lady.
Well yeah, because you free up time.
Isn't that common sense? No. That's not common sense to guys?
Not for me.
Not really.
They had to commission a study for
Once I do chores, I'm exhausted. So
I don't think it's a time issue.
Right. It's an effort issue.
I think. Like, she sees that you guys are doing something together. And that triggers the, okay, it's on.
Well, I think you benefit. Like, if one person's doing all the housework, you both are benefiting from the housework. So that's going to create an environment of, you know, a bitterness. If one person, because in this day and age, no, it is not the woman's responsibility to do everything. So why, you know, the guys are going to have to get out of that old school mentality, because you are living in the same house. You are benefiting the same thing. So you have to contribute to the household.
You need to be quiet right now.
No, seriously, because you both are probably working now. It wasn't a case, we're not talking about your grandparents. This is a case when women are working, men are working, you come home, you both are tired. So how about split the chores? And then, of course, yes, the woman's going to be very appreciative that you gave the effort to do something for the both of you.
I think even more so, we're probably looking for dudes that are sort of in a sexual drought right now. Like, you're living in the same place with your wife, but, you know, you got kids or what have you, and you're just not having sex as much as you'd like, or you guys are living together and the numbers don't. They just don't look real good for you. So I think that's our better test group. Go ahead, do a couple of chores this weekend. We'll talk to you now, and then we'll talk to you on Monday, and we'll see if the drought is over.
But you can't say anything when you're doing the chores.
Look what I'm doing.
Yeah, don't be.
Hey, you
can
notice
this? I can imagine Jeff doing that.
Yes, of course. He does it now.
Oh, my God. Look at that new ceiling fan. Nobody got electrocuted. Aren't I hot?
You just have to let the chores speak for yourself.
Yes.
Absolutely right. So you go, you do some chores. Yeah, she's in the house, of course. So she sees you doing something, and then you call us back on Monday, or we get your number, and we'll see if it really worked or not.
Now, it feels more like a team effort when you're both participating, you're both doing things, and it's like almost brings a togetherness, even if those chores are completely separate.
404-741-Q100. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well.
All right. Now, are you a guy that normally gets a whole bunch during the week?
No.
Okay.
You know, but hey, but we're going to have our 10-year anniversary in March, and I will say this. My wife is, she helps out.
What does that mean?
I don't understand that.
All right, sorry. She's a good wife, and she has been making a good effort, you know, towards me. I'm a guy, and I love my wife, and I, you know, want to be physical.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she's, you know, she's getting better at reciprocating. But I'm also
she provides often. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, not necessarily often, because I'd want it all the time. So
you're looking for a little initiation.
Exactly.
You want her. You want her. Get the car started.
I clean around the house a lot. Mm-hmm. She's in corporate America, and I speak around the U.S. So when we're both home, you know, we kind of have to share the side of the cleaning. But I'm home more frequently, so you know, I want her to notice a lot of times, because she'll come in from work, and let's even say she's doing things, and maybe she throws something at the trash can and misses, and you know. 10 minutes later, I have to clean it up. So
right, here's what we want you to do this weekend. Right. I mean, again, you can't brag that you're doing the chores. You just got to do them.
Okay.
And at least according to this survey, that once she sees you doing them, it will lead her to take some action.
Sounds like a winner.
And I know you're looking for action.
That's right.
So hold on one sec, okay?
He doesn't sound like the typical situation, though,
because he does it anyways.
Because he's doing it anyway?
Yeah, he's home. It seems like he's home, and they've kind of got reverse roles.
Mm-hmm.
That one won't count so much. Is what we need is a guy who on a normal who has, like, let's say your garage has no blinds on the windows, but they're sitting in the box next to the windows, and they have been for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the electrical switch in the kitchen hasn't worked since the beginning of last year, and the bicycle that you bought for your kid at Christmas still hasn't been assembled. This week, tackle all those problems. Put up the blinds. Hang the ceiling fan, fix the light
Follow
switch.
Follow through, and then clean up after your project.
Yes, and then just see what happens. That's what
point.
We need. Somebody finishing all these things that have just been waiting forever.
Dudes don't get it. Women are calling up to volunteer their husbands. You can't do that.
No. It's got to be the guys.
Yes.
It's an experiment.
That's funny.
It's an experiment in lovemaking.
Like, most dudes won't call up and say that they're... I think it's the, you're not getting much... admission.
And they don't want to admit it.
That makes guys not want to call. Well, hey, Luke, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Hey, Bert, how you doing?
Okay. You sound like the kind of guy that's just not getting a lot, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I'm kind of like one of those, like the other caller just mentioned, not getting a whole lot. Last time I can reckon was the Sunday right after New Year's, which was the 3rd, I believe.
Yeah?
So I've been on a drought since then.
We know it's been a long time because he used the word reckon. Because, I mean, if you're remembering something, that's, you know, in your memory. If you're reckoning, then you're going way back. You're blowing dust off it.
Lou is going through a sexual recession right now.
Yeah, it's been quite some time.
Okay, according to the survey, Lou, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your phone number. We want to talk to you again on Monday.
Okay.
Just do some chores this weekend. Don't mention it to her. Like these guys said, don't highlight it, but
just do it.
She sees you doing it. According to the survey, you're going to get some.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, good luck. Hold on.
Yeah, and if she asks you guys, don't say, well, the Bert Show told me to do this.
No excuses.
I wanted to do this.
Right.
Stacey drops this little hint the other day. We're watching, I told you guys, we love Friday Night Lights,
mm-hmm.
and there's this character on the show, and his name is Riggins, and he's like this long hair, like sort of country boy, loves his beer and stuff, and he's just handy. He's always got like a wrench in his hands or whatever, and this week he went over to his brother's house to fix a toilet, and he's got a wrench in hand and his flannel shirt on, and she said, you really have no idea how hot that is to me.
Really?
Oh. Yes.
The fact that he could fix things.
Fix things around the house.
So you don't.
You could try to fix things.
I mean, just because you have the wrench in your hand doesn't mean you know what you're doing.
So Bert,
I can dress the part.
Why don't you try it? Why don't you just walk around carrying a tool? Not your tool. A tool.
A real tool.
Yes.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Not much. Just listening to the show. Love the show, guys.
Thanks.
You're not getting much, Gary?
Well, you know, we've been married for going on 9 years now. We've got 3 kids. Okay. You know, it kind of slacks off after that.
I feel you.
When is the last time? When do you reckon the last time your wife laid down like a woman for you?
It hasn't been that long. I mean, it's gone from where it was almost, you know, 4 or 5 times a week when we were dating and first got married. But
of course, that's how they get you.
I'd say it's, you know, down to once or twice a month.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
See, that's the problem with women. They're giving it to guys too much in the beginning of the relationship. If you want to break us in, give us the reality on the front end and only have sex with us once a month.
No, so, right. There you go.
It's giving guys what they want. It's trapping them.
Yeah.
You know, it's
just called manipulation. That's what women do best.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gary, you may be perfect for this. Try it this weekend. Just do a couple of chores around the house. Don't brag about them. But according to the survey, it's going to work out good for you by the end of the weekend.
I will go ahead and say that I believe it will work because she has flat out said that before. She's like, you know, look, you want some? Vacuum the house. Wash the dishes.
There you go.
You know, she's pretty upfront that, you know, you want some, that's what you got to do.
And I think
I feel it'll work.
If you already do a couple of chores, typically, I think you got to ramp up your game. Mm-hmm. So you got to increase the amount of chores that you're doing by at least 50 to 100%.
Well, that's not hard for me because I hate doing chores, so I don't do any of them.
And you can also do them naked.
What? No.
I don't know that that would work.
It's probably bad naked.
Be careful using the hose attachment to the vacuum, though, because that would get...
Jeff! What?
Who knows what's going on in his house?
Lord.
Gary, hold on one sec.
No
get your phone number and we'll talk to you Monday, okay?
All right, sounds great, guys.
All right, let's look for one more dude. Just stop talking. Hey, Blake.
Yo.
What's going on?
Nothing much.
On any given...
Literally.
Yeah, right? Any given week, how many chores do you do around the house?
I can't even count it. I mean, I might, you know, wash a load of clothes here and there, but my wife pretty much does the majority of it.
Does she work, too, outside of the home?
Yeah, she works a part-time job,
mm-hmm.
and usually during the week she works in the mornings, and on the weekends she works at night.
And sexually, how's this all working out for you?
Man, I mean, maybe once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
That's defeat.
And given that she's not spending time making love to you, why doesn't she work a full-time job? Have you asked her that?
Well, I never asked her that, but I kind of...
Don't.
She don't work full time because of our little boy. You know, he's about to start school,
uh-huh.
and next year he's going to start school, and she's trying to get in as much time with him as she can. before, you know, he starts school, so.
All right, what we want you to do this weekend is just do a couple of chores. If you're doing nothing, just do a couple of chores around the house, and by the end of the weekend, you'll be fine. Okay, hold on. And then there's Tyler. Hey, Tyler.
Tyler?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, this is Tommy.
Yeah, it is. Tommy Tyler.
Okay.
What's up?
I'm going to help you with your segment here. It totally works. We've been together for 7 years, and we 3, 4, or 5 times a week still. However, this last month, it's been a severe drought for us. And I'm telling you, I got home early for the first time last couple months yesterday, did some chores, cleaned all 3 bathrooms, made dinner, came home, had sex twice.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
That's right.
There is your shining example, man, right there. Okay.
Was it your wife?
I'm telling you, yeah, my wife. I'm telling you guys, it works. Do it. The other thing is, be appreciative of what they do. And it goes a long way.
Just a little thank you, a little appreciation, and a chore now and then.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on.
Tommy Tyler.
Oh, yeah, twice.
Just remember.
Twice. He keeps getting that in there.
Way to go,
not
Tommy
just
Tyler.
Once, but twice.
Hey, guys, remember this phrase. Work with this, like school.
Uh-oh.
A chore makes her a whore.
The Bert Show. The Bert Show.
Let's introduce you to intern Brandon. Brandon said, at least for him, there are worse things that you could call him than the N-word.
Yeah.
And he was shocked by one, what, last week?
Yeah, last week. It was actually my brother that got called this. I've been called similar. But
what's
odd
is Brandon is white. Yeah. And so that's what's really
don't
odd
confuse
about
people,
it.
Jeff.
Well, my brother, he works at Staples, and he's a computer repairman, and it's in West Marietta, so it's not exactly the most diverse part of Cobb County. So he comes in one day, and he was just like, "You'll never believe what this old lady called me." And he's like, whatever.
Old
and he's
white
like,
lady.
Yeah, old white lady. Okay. And he's like, I was helping her, helped her for about 20 minutes. She was buying computer and stuff. And then, like, her grandson came in and was talking to her. And the grandson was like, oh, did you find everything all right, Grandma? And she was like, yeah, that nice mahogany boy.
Mahogany
gentleman. Mahogany gentleman helped me over there. Mahogany. She called him a gentleman, at least.
She called him a mahogany
gentleman? A mahogany
gentleman. Awesome. And how old is this lady?
I would think she's pretty old to be calling people mahogany.
Carl, what would you do if somebody called you mahogany?
But you know what, though? That's hilarious, man, because I've been I haven't been called like mahogany, anything like that, but I've noticed people having a hard time trying to reference my color.
Yeah.
Like, Carl, the African, you know, the.
I'll tell you straight up, white people are confused. Yeah, we've been confused for a long time about this. Is African American? Is it black? Is it colored? What is it?
Yeah.
You know, and no one wants to offend.
The lady say mahogany, I would have taken that she's trying to be real careful.
She's trying to be polite.
She was trying. Yeah. Especially the older you get, because the older generations have had to, get out of bad habits, because it's our grandparents' generation that, you know, would be using the N-word as if it was, you know, right off their tongue. So then you're trying to teach everybody what to say that's more correct, and I guarantee, that's the first thing that came
to her
mind.
She's trying to be, or that's what she uses, and I think, because my grandmother, before she passed away, all black people were colored to her.
Yeah.
So, and I think when they reach a certain age, nobody bothers to correct them. Like, I think they tried to in the past or whatever, and then it just doesn't happen because with her generation, that's what it was.
She thinks she's graduated to political correctness of mahogany.
Mahogany.
Right.
The sad part was my brother actually had to look up what shade mahogany was. So. I mean, it's kind of purplish if I remember correctly. So. I guess it's either really dark, he's purple, or something like that.
It's
typically
a word you use to describe furniture in
your
living room.
Yeah,
you know?
Like you go to the Home Depot and you ask for like mahogany wood stain.
Yeah.
Well, I was giving somebody directions, a black woman, and she described me as that nice pine boy. So I think it's just a whole new generation of humans are now shades of wood.
Well, Jeff, you're more maple.
Okay.
The thing is, just like how we're laughing about it now, I promise you, as soon as I would have been called mahogany, I would have turned around, called my wife. Hey, Cheryl, listen to this. This chick called me mahogany. I mean, we crack up about it. Just being so careful. Now, just call me black or African American.
Well, I had
either one of those is all good.
Yeah. Well, I had a guy when I was working in retail. He was an older white guy working in Acworth. Not the most diverse part of any place in the world. He called me boy. And it wasn't like a cop old. Like a cop calls you boy and it's like, okay, you're a cop, you have a gun, you can call me whatever you want, just don't shoot me. It was one of those, hey boy, come help me find this. And I was standing next to a white girl and I looked at her and I was like, is he talking to me? Because I ain't his boy, I ain't his friend, I ain't his son or anything like that. So, and then, like, she was like, he's old. It's okay. It's okay. So, like, when it goes to, like, that point, then it's offensive, but it's, in my opinion, it's less offensive than being called the N-word.
Boy is less offensive? I mean, we're splitting hairs here, right?
Not really, because at least when you have the N-word, you're upfront about it's hate.
I think the N-word has been, throughout generations, a negative word.
Yes.
Whereas there, depending on how old this guy was, there in the small town, right? But it's not hate. It's might be what he grew up with. Whereas the N word has always been
the N word
hate filled.
Like, when you started this off by saying that it was something worse than the N word, like I understand the confusion and all the about being mahogany and boy and all that, but there's nothing worse than the N word for me. Well, I mean, hands down.
Well, I can't be like as upset when somebody calls me an N-word because I feel that it loses its value, especially in today's generation, that guys are walking around calling themselves N-words in terms of endearment. Like, even, I'm not going to lie, I do it too. Like, you see your friend, you're like, what's up, N-word? So, it's like, in an ideal situation, nobody should be able to use that word rather than some be able to use it in a nice way and some be able to use it in a bad way. But at least when you get called the N-word, you know there's hate behind it. I can deal with somebody being up forward, foremost, and hate. Mm-hmm. With me, we don't have to like each other. You call me an N-word, that's blatant hate. But when somebody calls you colored, like, the stories that I used to hear from my mom and my grandmother growing up was when white people were trying to be politically correct and nice and upfront, like, they liked black people, they were calling them coloreds when behind their backs they were really hating.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd rather you be upfront with me and call me the N-word than trying to make it seem that way.
Yeah. Hide it behind a word like
unless
boy.
Unless they're older and it's
like then it's just kind of funny if it's really old
really.
And she's calling you mahogany. I mean, it's funny.
What does that mean? Does that mean you like me or you don't like me?
Yeah,
I can't tell.
Should I go to Home Depot? For creativity.
Oh, my God.
In the realm of furniture, like, mahogany is a good, solid.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's a compliment. She wasn't commenting on your color. You are a good, solid nightstand. That's what she was saying.
Call me oak.
Strong as oak.
Hey, Monica, good morning. You're on Q100. Hey.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Loving you right
now. You know, the color thing, it's so weird. I have a vanilla brother at work.
Vanilla.
And I call him Vanilla, and I'm his chocolate sister. And then when my kids were little, my daughter, they're half Puerto Rican, we're half black, and she's always said she was beige. And it wasn't because she was taught that. She just, as she learned colors, she said she was beige. So,
well, I remember when I was a kid and I had a Fed Albert coloring book, one of my favorites. And I remember asking my mom, like, well, if they're black, then why am I using the brown, Crayola to color his skin,
I think that, seriously, like, white people are confused. And I think white people want to be so sensitive about it that they're not exactly sure what to use. There almost needs to be, like, a day where we're educated on this is the word to use
this
from this day forward. Because
right
for
here.
A while there, African American was the word that white people were supposed to refer to black people as. And then we took some calls from people saying that they were offended by that word because I'm not from Africa.
Yeah, that's my thing is that I don't go around calling white people European Americans.
Right.
You know, it's been many degrees of separation, so to say, than I've been from Africa. Like, my mom wasn't from Africa. My dad was from Haiti. His parents were from Haiti. My mom's parents were from America. That's when it gets down to me, it's too many degrees of separation from me being Africa. So,
you're
just
probably more like French or Creole American.
Yeah, I'm Haitian American.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. Have you all ever been offended by being called white?
Mm-mm.
No.
Because sometimes I kind of teeter on the fence. My Caucasian friend or my white friend. Seriously, though, I kind of...
There are very few things. I mean, as a white person, I mean, I've got black friends that call me cracker jokingly, and that cracks me up.
Wow. We can say that on air.
I mean, I didn't know that. Have you ever seen Bert walk in this morning? He's like, what's up, my cracker? It's me.
My cracker brother?
Yeah.
I think when you're in the majority of anything, the jokes are less offensive.
Because it doesn't hurt you.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt you because you are just in the majority. It's the same with, like, straight people jokes. Like, when gay people call us breeders... I'm like, okay, that's supposed to be offensive, but
not all right.
You know what I mean? So I think anytime you're in the majority, it's kind of deflected because of that, the innate nature of that.
And I've heard this also, that don't call me black because my skin is brown.
Yeah,
you're calling me black, and that's offensive.
Yeah.
So that's why white people don't know what to say.
And I can understand. I can understand the sincerity of the confusion. Now, I don't, those bogus ones out there, I'll be quiet. But the sincerity of ones that's confused, I can understand. So I would say a good point. I'm the black guy representative, right? But African-American is more, for me, more legitimate, I would say. I mean, don't get me wrong.
You prefer African-American?
No, I prefer black. But I can understand... You referring to me as African.
So black's okay.
Yeah, black. Damn.
Where's mahogany rank in there for you?
We're going to be a mahogany.
Atlanta going with mahogany.
Mahogany American.
It's a new era.
Don't you think also, though, like with your kids and stuff, like it's best to identify people by like the color shirt they're wearing or whatever it is? Because I'll even try to do that myself. If I am, say I'm shopping and somebody's helped me out and it's a black girl that helped me, she was the sales girl. And then I go up to the counter and they say, has somebody been helping you? My first inclination, and I try to do it consciously, is say, the girl in the green shirt over there was the one who helped me.
Because that's how you describe a white girl.
Because that's exactly what, you know, or I would say, oh, she's the one with the pretty curly hair or whatever it is. I try my best not to use that as the first identifying factor because I think once we start doing that, then it's like your skin color doesn't matter what your skin color it is.
I agree with you, but I don't know that it's realistic. Like if people, you take out the glaring characteristic that separates you from somebody else. So if you're with a group of white people,
shouldn't be the glaring characteristic that separates you from somebody else.
Why? It's not offensive to me if somebody refers to me as the short guy. That's the glaring.
Right.
Characteristic that separates me from most of my friends, which are taller guys.
And I understand what Jen is saying, but I agree with you, Bert.
No, Bert, around most of your friends, you're the white guy.
But see, I feel like it's only with black people that I would typically be trained to do that. I would never say if Reshma, who's Indian, right? Indian? Of Indian scent.
Or something darker. Well,
I'm not sure. Somewhere between us and Carl.
But if I were out shopping and they said, who helped you, I would never say the Indian girl or the brown skin girl over there. I would say the girl in the gray striped sweater.
Let me ask you this.
But if it were Brandon that were helping me, I would have been conditioned to say, oh, the black guy over there helped me. So instead, I would rather say the guy in the Yankees hat.
At least it's not mahogany.
But if you're in a store...
You know
and
what I'm saying? I don't know.
Right. I know what you're saying.
You got it. If you're in a store that's predominantly where it's staffed by most of the employees are black and there's one white person working and the person said, who helped you? Would you say the white girl over there?
I'd probably name the color of her hair.
I'd say the white girl.
See, I would say the white. I would say whatever is the most identifying. If I wouldn't identify the person, if I walked into a store and every employee was black, I wouldn't identify the person who helped me as the person as the black guy over there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a way to describe. If I'm in a store, it's 50-50 employees. I would go the black guy with the Yankees cap and the blue shirt. And I certainly don't mean it offensively. It's an easy way to identify someone.
Right.
Hey, the Bert Show. The Bert Show.
Hey, is this Olivia or Deborah?
This is Deborah.
Hey, Deborah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hold on, we'll get Olivia on. Hi, Olivia, how are you?
Hi.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back.
All right. Jen and Wendy are going to spearhead this, but we're starting. You guys are kicking off this single girl boot camp that we're doing all week, and it's about, you know, helping single ladies navigate the dating waters. The reason we have you guys joining us is because, you know, we originally talked to you in studio about texting, but questions have come up about Facebook commenting and tweeting and direct messages and at replies and so much more than texting. So that's why you guys, that's what you're representing, the social media aspect of dating.
And we just get a ton of email from listeners anytime that Wendy and I talk about dating or being single. Whenever we share it on the show, mm-hmm. we get lots of responses from other women listening who are single or maybe newly single, getting back out on the scene. And so all the social media is this really new element to dating now that nobody's really navigated that before. So we were kind of wondering if you can give us like some rules of thumb, some definite things to always remember when you're on those sites.
Right. I mean, I guess the biggest thing to remember is, you know, we never before were inundated with all these, like, technologies and our kind of, like, 24/7 coverage of our lives on Facebook and mm-hmm. People are tweeting now. I mean, there's just so much going on that I think everybody just needs to be mindful that if you do saturate these communication lines early on, and I'm talking, you know, you're emailing, you're BlackBerry messengering, you're Facebooking with, you know, your crush, that it's just probably going to burn out that love connection really quickly because you're just kind of so attainable and out there and everything about you is out there that you're kind of losing that mystery, which is the kind of thing that you want to keep, especially early on in the love connection.
Is there like a guideline to go by? Because, you know, the texting and the tweeting can be somewhat private. But if you're going to Facebook message someone, like comment on their wall and post something, that almost seems like it's a question that has to be, or an issue that has to be addressed beforehand, because people might not want to know who, you know, like if I'm dating somebody, I might not want the whole world to know it just yet if we've only been on one date.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a guideline?
Well, here's the rule that we always tell single girls is that you should refrain from being Facebook friends or, like, Facebook friending someone to, like, the fourth date. I mean, let's face it, the first, you know, three dates are, you know, you kind of feeling that person out. I think by the fourth one, you can safely say that you guys are dating and headed on that road. So we tend to kind of hold back on whether the girl's Facebook friending him or whether he's Facebook friending her. Just kind of hold out on that because, I mean, I think that's the safest way to go about that situation.
So what if you're already Facebook friends with your crush? Should we delete them or just avoid posting anything on their wall?
Yeah, definitely avoid. You know, you don't want... It's very... you don't want everybody to know what's going on. And like Olivia said, you want to keep the mystery. So, and guys also don't appreciate it when a girl that they just started to date posts on their Facebook page, hey, I had a great time last night, because early on, that's not a good move to make.
It's too clingy.
It's also a private thing. I mean, I think that's something that you can private message on Facebook and not make it public domain, you know?
Right.
I mean, the biggest turnoff to guys that we've gotten is that when a girl comments like every single status or picture or link that they put up. I mean, it reeks of trying too hard, and it's like you don't want everybody knowing, you know, that you're out there and you have nothing better to do but to comment on his wall.
Well, and too, don't you think it needs to be, the tone needs to be light and fun? Like in any sort of text communication or social networking, like to me it should stay light and fun. Any sort of serious subject matter, I feel like you should talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. No, texting, Facebooking, BBMing, it's all supposed to be light and fun because we have found that a very big misconception that people have come across is that that they think that now that texting's around that you need to have all these conversations on texting, but that's actually absolutely incorrect. You know, texting and Facebooking and all those things are ways to supplement a relationship that should also include phone calls and face-to-face, because that's
right.
How you build a relationship. And all those other fun things in social media should be just that. They should be fun and light.
Exactly. Yeah, because I think that's a mistake that a lot of women make, is they'll get serious or they'll like try to express their emotions in that way. And it's like, you can't really do that. You can't express a serious emotion and then an emoticon to really get across like
a smiley face.
Yeah, a smiley or a wink or a sad or whatever it is. So like really say what you need to say. I think it should just be fun and flirty and light.
Yeah, keep and the totally. Great thing about flirting in these social media environments is that you're able to flirt in a controlled environment. You're mm-hmm. able to actually think about what you want to say and how it's going to make you look before putting it out there. So if you're smart about it, then it could really, really help you out.
And for single girl boot camp, what would be your suggestion before immediately replying to something you get from a boy? So say you get like a flirty text from a boy or a flirty direct message or whatever else it is. Like, do you have any advice on, okay, before you reply, you should do what?
You should stop.
Stop yourself. Stop and think.
Well, what we usually say is that the first thing that pops into your mind is most likely impulsive and driven by emotion. So what you want to say initially is probably, you're going to think of something better in an hour, you know? And, like, just hold off. There's no need. Just because it's speedy technology doesn't mean you need to be speedy with your response.
Mm-hmm. Which is the rule that you apply to texting when we had you in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
For
it's the same kind of thing. Like, if you take your time, then you can be, like, witty and light and funny.
Now, we had a guy in studio, actually a friend of the Bird Show, a couple months ago, and he approached a girl. He got invited to a party that he couldn't attend, but then was looking at the pictures of the party, and in those pictures found a girl that he thought was attractive. So checked out her Facebook page, and whatever he saw on her Facebook page, he's like, wow, this is a cool girl. So he sent her a message, not a public message, a private message on Facebook, and asked her if there was any, you know, if she's single and if she wouldn't mind grabbing a cup of coffee.
And I thought his approach was kind of cute because he said, you know, I was supposed to go to the party where you went and, you know, kind of, man, I'm really mad I missed it because I missed the chance of meeting you.
So the That's question is that is Facebook or any social media that has a picture attached, is that an acceptable medium for meeting
the initial
people?
Approach?
Yeah, for the initial meeting.
I think people are using it, absolutely. I think people are actively using it almost as a dating site at this point. And if, you know, the rule, I mean, I think it's cute and safe to say what that guy did is appropriate. And, you know, it's also based on whether this girl is interested. And most likely they have a lot of friends, mutual friends in common, and she'll probably check that out and go mm-hmm. and ask around her friends and get his story before she probably responds. And that's the thing, is it's going to be based on those mutual friends and what they have to say about him.
Well, what she did do is she immediately defriended him, which we found amusing.
She blocked him.
Blocked him,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he couldn't contact her anymore, which led us to believe that she was a psycho. And he and
well,
that was the best
and
decision.
My rule with guys that I don't know, strangers, sending me a private message saying that they think I'm cute and would I want to go out sometime, I ignore all of them, every single one of them. If you give me a generic Facebook private message the same way you would give me a generic text message, mm-hmm. I don't think you're putting in effort. I think it could be a mass message that you copy and paste to a bunch of girls.
Right.
If you want to make yourself stand out, then you need to, you know, what you said, what this guy did, where he mentioned a party that he knew she was going to, which could be a little bit crazy on his end, but if he had said something, you know, that they had in common, and I know your friend, this person, and that sort of stuff, if you make it personal that, you know, a girl knows you didn't just copy and paste it, I think that's better for you. I mean, it gives you a better step ahead in the right direction.
The what about the issue of infidelity online? Like, once you're exclusive with someone, are you allowed to comment on members of the opposite sex's pictures?
Yeah, if you do it very lightly. I mean, if you don't say anything inappropriate, absolutely. And because you know that, you know, it says it on your page that you just talked about somebody else's photos, so your significant other is going to check that out if she's able to. And also there's a level of trust that you have to have, you know, with social media.
I actually, though, I mean, a little story. Like, there's someone I know that is in a relationship with someone else, living with them, and on Facebook, and it says so on their status. However, mm-hmm. The guy continues to hit on other girls.
Mm.
And it's like, you have to be, I mean, none of these girls, I mean, he's a really good-looking guy. He's got a lot going for him. But, like, are you serious? Like, there's pictures posted of you and your girlfriend everywhere. It says, in a relationship with blank. I mean, I don't know what people are thinking that's okay to do. It's a huge, weird thing to me.
Let me ask you guys about chivalry, because a lot of people would argue that chivalry is dead and mm-hmm. that technology makes it even more easy for chivalry to be dead. How does a single girl navigate you know, being in the world of texting and social networking while dating, because it's just a part of it now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no avoiding. That's just the way it goes now. But still being able to expect to date a gentleman or expect some chivalry at some stage of the game.
I think it's about mixing it up. I mean, it's about knowing that a guy that really likes you will call you at some point, and hopefully early on, to make a date, but will use texting to flirt with you, will send a funny post on your Facebook page to, when he's thinking of you, and who's going to mix it all up.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's true. I mean, I think, you know, the most important thing is, I think, if you have to wait for that phone call. I mean, I think that is, out of all these social media, everything that's going on, whether he Facebooks you and gets your phone number that way, it's got to come down to the phone call.
Right. Okay.
So,
cool.
Like, phone call, like, in person, like, talking?
Yes, like, talking.
Do you remember that?
Personal phone, right? Yeah. Like, hearing their voice, yeah.
I don't understand.
I know,
yeah,
you can
still place calls on your phone.
I know. You can express so much more with your voice than your thumbs, Jeff.
Hey, Deborah and Olivia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure.
Thanks, you guys.
We appreciate it. And the name of the book is called Flirt Texting.
Flirt Texting, yeah.
It's really good.
And it's an awesome book.
It's such a great book. I have used it more than one time as like a guide for how to do it.
And do we have time to tell you one more super big tip about Facebook?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Olivia and I were doing sort of a Facebook makeover boot camp with some of our guy friends, and we noticed that a lot of our guy friends have absolutely ridiculous photos, and when a girl gets a guy's number, the first thing she's going to do, whether she's friends with you or not, is check out your Facebook profile. So you have to make sure that that picture is very, very wonderful, and you're not doing anything in it that she could disagree with. So if you go to flirttexting.com on our blog today, we've listed the 25 worst things you could possibly be doing in your Facebook profile picture.
We'll link that up to our website.
Great. Right.
That's very cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great day. Have a great week.
You too.
Bye.
Get it? The Burt Show. You're on The Burt Show.
So Jill joined us last week. If you've listened at this time, you already know the story. She tells us on Wednesday or Thursday that she's in love with one of her customers. She's a bartender or something. She's in love with one of her customers who comes in all the time. Sometimes with coworkers, sometimes alone, and sometimes with his wife and kids. She tells us that she's in love with him. So then we say, well, there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to either have to deal with it or quit your job.
Because the idea was that it was not reciprocal. Like, he had given no indication.
Right, none.
That he was as interested in her as she is in him.
But she did say one night she came really close to leaning in and kissing him.
Right.
So they were having an intimate enough conversation that she felt like that could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
She was overwhelmed with her urges.
So the you know, the show and the listeners kind of advised her, like, look, this is your problem to deal with. Keep your mouth shut or either, you know, don't say a word, or you've got to quit your job or whatever. But you can't bring this on him, because her big idea was, well, I'm going to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to warn him that these feelings exist. And so we get off the phone with her the first time, and we said, don't do anything. Then she calls us back the next day and goes, look, I just want to give you guys a heads up. I know what you said, but that wasn't the right advice.
Mm-hmm.
Of course not, for her.
On account of it not being what I wanted to hear.
Exactly.
So he came into the restaurant with his wife, and when he got up to use the restroom, our bartender friend Jill followed him to the bathroom and said, hey, listen, I need you to come in sometime tomorrow when I'm working, because I have to talk to you, but I can't do it in front of your wife.
Mm-hmm.
So come on in. So we all went around the room and kind of took guesses as to what might happen when he came back in. Melissa, you said you're not even coming.
I was wondering if any of us thought he would actually show up. Did anybody think that he would show up?
I didn't think he would show up, but if he did, that says a lot about his reciprocal feelings for her.
I think he showed up because
shows a big sign. Mm-hmm.
I think he showed up because I think it's so far off of his radar. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think that somebody said, and I thought this when somebody in here said, what if he wants to borrow money? Or if it was like a call.
If he thought she needed money.
Right.
But even then, though, still, it's not his. I mean, why would you feel obligated? I don't know about guys, but I know that as a woman, if there's somebody that's interested in me that I have no interest in whatsoever, there's a little bit of it that creeps me out. You know what I mean?
But see, I think women are on guard more often about advances in that way than men are.
Totally. And I think Bert has talked about this, and I've agreed with him, or I've talked about it, he's agreed with me. There's a weird thing, like, there are situations where we have both walked away from encounters with women where our wives have said, she was totally into you. Mm-hmm. Like, she's totally flirting with you or something like that. And we're like, what? She's like, yeah, because guys don't, if the guy doesn't have an interest in the girl, it's not even on his radar. Because the guys are simple. You know what I mean? So if a guy...
So if you really thought that some strange woman that you may have associated with and socialized with in a bar setting wanted money from you, that you would actually go out of your way to go back in to check it out?
Well, if it's somebody... If I was in his situation and I was a regular at a restaurant...
And that was the assumption.
And always had for a year and had the same server when my... Or, you know, always like the server was around a lot, whether I was there with my office coworkers... Mm-hmm. with my wife, or they're alone, and I have developed a rapport with this person, a friendly rapport, but was not attracted to them, then I would think, oh my gosh, I hope everything's okay. You know what I mean? I hope.
Well, and you and Bert both said that if somebody had approached you guys about it, the first thing you would do would be tell your wives.
Right. And then I would.
You say Jessica would be like, oh, you got to go in and figure out what it is.
Exactly.
I think it's, well. That's what my prediction, that his wife showed up.
Well,
not him.
We can speculate, but Jill's on hold. She can tell us the whole thing.
Hey, Jill.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Was Jill on the voice disguiser?
She is now.
Okay. Hey, Jill, how are you?
I'm all right.
So how was your weekend?
It was okay.
And so what happened?
He was supposed to come in on Friday, right? You asked him to come Friday?
Yes.
Okay.
And he did.
He did show up. Alone?
Yes.
And
he came at the end of my shift. And I told him what I told you I would tell him. I had, in the past year, I've developed feelings for you, and they are making me uncomfortable. I don't want things to grow and get awkward for me or for him, and you know, I would really appreciate it if there was any way that you could not come into the restaurant anymore. And he definitely didn't expect that that's what I was going to say. He looked completely shocked and sort of didn't know what to say for a while.
Was that part of the plan that I missed, or was that something you threw in at the last minute? Like, I don't want you to come into the restaurant anymore.
Until the end of my shift?
That was the whole point from the start, because I don't want... him around, and okay. I can't quit my job. That's the whole point. And so he agreed to it, and he said, you know, I didn't expect you to say that, but I'm glad that, you know, he didn't say glad, but I can't remember exactly, but he was like, you know.
Where are you guys when this conversation?
I can respect your feelings, and I will try not to come to the restaurant when I know you're working anymore.
Where are you guys sitting when this conversation goes down?
We're just sitting, you know, at a table. It was like kind of past lunchtime, so nobody was really there.
Wow. Okay, so he said he would respect your feelings and try not to be there when you're there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to, like, I didn't know. Did I miss something? Was that part of the plan all along to tell him not to come into the restaurant anymore? That was part of the plan?
Yeah.
All right, because
I got emails from listeners who said that's illegal, right?
Well, it's illegal, but not only that, like, if this were me, speaking from a male point of view, I would be shocked at the beginning. Like,
happens to you all the time.
Sure. Right. If I had no idea.
You know,
but
from experience, you know.
But I think if I went home, I would definitely tell Jessica that story and go, oh, my God. Because first of all, it's a badge of honor. Someone fell in love with me. But I would go home and I would tell Jessica, right?
Right.
That story.
Yeah.
And then I think, I don't know what her initial reaction would be, but over the course of the weekend, I know I would grow increasingly angrier. Like, wait a minute. You're telling me I can't come in? Because if he had no feelings for you, that's genuinely a favorite restaurant or bar of his. It's either really convenient or really good food or really something. I would grow increasingly angry that you're preventing me from coming into a place that's convenient and good.
And Jill, he said nothing about any feelings for you.
No.
Did he say, I mean, did he address that at all other than, okay, I respect the way you feel? What else did he have to say?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very short conversation. He just pretty much left after that.
Hey, Jill, don't hang up. I'm going to put you on hold, but we have somebody who wants to come in.
Hold on, I want to ask her one more question.
Okay, hold on, go ahead.
Did he come back in at all the rest of the weekend?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on hold because we have somebody who wants to make a comment on the voice disguiser.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hear that comment, but it screws up if you're on at the same time. So hold on, okay? Hey, okay. Mary.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Jill is a complete moron. If she really felt this way, she could have kept this all to herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think deep down inside, she wanted to tell him this so that he would come back to her and say, oh, yeah, I felt the same way.
Yes.
She
yes.
is an idiot.
She's testing him.
My boyfriend was telling me this story this morning, and I was like, you know what? I've got to call in because this girl is this type of person. And I'm telling you, women, they're all out there. She's the type of person that wants to wait until someone slips up and try to move in there.
Well,
she's a moron.
So she's waiting for the guy to have a couple too many drinks on the night he argued with his wife, and then she can, bam.
Absolutely.
I think it's just this misconception by certain people, and it's men and women, who once you fall for somebody, then it's destiny. It was meant to be. I can't avoid these feelings. I can't deny these feelings. I mean, they are here for a reason. Crap. If it's for a married person, stay away. Don't
How long
tell
have
them.
You been squashing your feelings for me, Melissa? Since
2002,
right?
We've been together since 2001.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
How are you dealing with that?
It's hard.
I don't think that this guy's going to ever come back in the restaurant again.
I don't think so either.
I bet he's going to leave for good, and then I bet Jill's manager is going to be like, wait a second, what happened to so-and-so, the regular, who was spending a lot of money in here every single week?
Hey, Alan, welcome to the show.
He needs to do is tell his wife so that there's nothing can come back on him. And then the next thing he needs to do is take his butt in that restaurant,
mm-hmm.
go to her boss, and say, look, this girl's a friggin' psycho. Get rid of her.
Because
she is screwed in the head.
See, I don't...
Freak me out.
Yeah. I don't think that that's not going to happen. Like, that, for me...
He's already told his wife.
Yeah,
so.
But for me, like, that would happen today or tomorrow. Like,
what?
Where I'd be like, I got to call her boss. Like, you're not going to tell me that I'm not going to go into the restaurant that's either right next to my office or close to my house or whatever he likes about it.
I don't know. It depends on he and his wife's situation, how secure they are. He might just be like, you know what? I just want to avoid this altogether.
Well, even if they, I mean, to me, I think the most secure is like, you know what? There's other restaurants. There's other bars.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is not worth a fight.
Mm-mm.
Hey, Heather.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's going on?
I think Jill is a lion. I think her whole story is false.
Okay.
Why? I think what happened was she has feelings for this guy, and she tried to kiss him, and he obviously wasn't interested. And so now, because her pride is hurt, now that's why she doesn't want him in there. She's trying to punish him for not being into her.
So she's not making up the story. She's making up her motivation for...
Exactly. Exactly.
Good theory.
Hey, Jill, is any of that true?
No.
Are you upset? No. Are you upset that...
I definitely didn't try to kiss him. I just felt like kissing him, and that's why I didn't want him around anymore.
So you just thought about
it. I didn't want to be around him anymore. I don't like the feeling that I could lose control and ruin something.
Are you upset that he didn't respond saying that he was in love with you?
No. I mean, I didn't expect him to. I don't even know what I would do if he did say that. It's not... I just want the awkwardness out of my life. I want the feelings not there anymore, and I can't.
You realize you're breaking up with
unless he's not around me.
You're breaking up with a guy that you've never dated. You realize that, right?
Did you actually?
I don't know, something like that, but.
Did you actually say the words "I'm in love with you"?
No, I said I developed feelings.
Okay, and what was the look on his face when you said that?
The total shock.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
What's up?
Hey, I own bars and clubs.
Right.
And if this person was working for me, I would fire her. They need to find her boss and let him know what she has done, because you don't take regular customers that spend good money with you every week and run them off. She doesn't have the right to impact.
Mm-hmm.
She does not have the right to impact the revenues like that of that business.
That's
she
a good point.
She needs to go. And I just fired somebody not long ago who did the same thing. Some guy had a girlfriend. She broke up with him, but was coming to the club with her girlfriends all the time. He tells her she can't come in anymore, or her girls. They're there every week. He had to go.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to go. She's impacting the bottom line. She doesn't have the right.
That's a great point.
Because, Joe, you talk about it being a family, but it's a business first, you know? So
That's a solid point right there. Hey, Deanna.
Yes.
You agree with what Jill did?
agree with why she told him, but I don't agree with the whole aspect of work. It can hurt her position. It can hurt the restaurant itself. So
why do you agree with her purging what she's thinking onto somebody else who is an innocent bystander, basically?
Well, I'm guessing that she's probably in her 20s, early 20s. I think that, you know, I'm also in my early 20s, and I'm also a waitress, so I understand having to voice your opinion, and it's more of a laid-back position. Oh, hold on, I got to turn on my radio. But, like, to get that out, to get it off of her, I understand that, but in the long run, it's going to hurt her more than it's going to help her, because she just lost a good client, and, I mean, that's practically what waitressing is. It's selling, you know, your food and yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, your service, and it's going to hurt her in the long run, and it could possibly hurt the restaurant, because he can go around saying that, you know, there's the crazy girl that works there, and she told me that she's in love with her, which might have not have been her, like, whole point. It might have just been get it off her chest, and so she doesn't have to live with that.
Well, tell a girlfriend. So you agree with her getting it off her chest, but just not in the way that she said, don't come here anymore?
Yeah, I agree with her getting that off, saying, hey, I developed feelings with you for you, all that, but I don't agree with her saying, don't ever come in here again.
See,
she could have said, she could have told her boss, I need to cut my hours up. I need to work dinners, not lunches, or something like that, you know?
See, I thought that's what she was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought she was just going to say, I don't want anything ever to happen between us. So I have to let you know how I'm feeling.
Well, regardless, it's going to be an awkward situation even if he came into the bar the next day with her telling him.
Yeah, I just handle it. Don't, it's not, that's on your head. It's like we said before, I don't care how old you are, early 20s, late 30s. I don't care who you are. Just, you know, keep it to yourself.
Hey, Jill, we will stay in touch with you, because if he comes back into the restaurant or you in trouble from your boss or anything like that, we definitely want to hear about it.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyways, for sharing your story with us. Sorry, really zero people were on your side, but we appreciate you coming on.
All right. Well, thanks, you guys.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That's like thanking a cop for a ticket.
Yeah,
what, her
for
thanking
what?
Us?
Yeah. We gave you advice. You didn't follow, so I don't know what you're thinking.
And then
for.
Everybody beat her up and called her a moron.
This is The Bert Show.